Good morning. Welcome to Oakwood. Thanks for joining us today. We're a community of people whose mission is to love God, love others, and make disciples. Guests, we're so glad that you're here, and we'd like to connect with you. We have plenty of resources that you can check out in the description of this video on Oakwood's YouTube channel. See in the comment section below. It's good to be together, even if we can't be together in the same place. The worship experience is about to begin, so find a comfy spot and let's worship together.
Morning, Oakwood. It is my privilege to share with you today another sermon on reflections, what it means to be created in the image of God. Today, I'd like to talk about how we recognize it. How do we recognize it in others that we are made in the image of God? We understand at least partially what it means to be created in the image of God. We said a few weeks ago that it means we're rational, that we're able to think and we're able to speak, that it's moral in terms of there's always a right and a wrong that we are to discern. It's relational. It's relational in terms of that we are those who communicate and we are those who love. It's artistic in that we are people who are creative and we recognize beauty. And we're spiritual. We're those who want to worship God. We want to know Him and to be known by Him and to love Him. That's who we are. And basically we said a few weeks ago that being created in the image of God really means that we're human. That we're human. We're different than the rest of creation. We know as we look in the scriptures that the image of God is marred because of our rebellion, because of our sin, but the image is retained. It's clear in the book of Genesis as you walk through. You'll see that in the first 9 chapters or so. So let's be clear. The image of God really has nothing to do with what we can do, whether it's intellectual ability or physical ability or some type of creative artistic ability. It has nothing to do with that in a sense because it means we're human. But what I'd like for us to do today is to look at the first 3 chapters of Genesis, and it's going to be fast. I have a lot of points and I'll try to at least get us in the ballpark of how do you and I, how do we recognize the image of God in others? Because I think we can recognize the image of God in those around us by observing what they do. It's not about, well, the image of God is only something we recognize in Christians. No. The image of God is stamped upon every human being. Every human being, whether you're a Christ follower or not, it has to do with being human, being created in the image of God. So if I look and see what God does in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the book of Genesis, I can ask that question. We can ask that question, how do we reflect Him in what we do? Because we see God do things here in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. So first, we reflect the image of God when we create. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's what God did. And we go through Genesis chapter 1, and then there's the recap in Genesis chapter 2, and the God is the creator. So you and I, when we create, actually we don't create. To create means to form, to make out of nothing. Only God can do that. But we can take what God has made, what God has created, and we can make things from what He has provided. So when we take what God's provided and we fashion something out of it, it's a reflection of the image of God in us. In Exodus chapter 31, when Moses is told to build this tabernacle, and it says that there's a few individuals that God has gifted to work with cloth and with wool and with leather and with silver and gold and bronze and with wood. He's gifted people to do that. And when those gifts are exercised, when those gifts are used, it's a reflection of the image of God. Some of you quilt. Some of you work with wood. Some of you paint. Some of you take photos and you do so many things with photos. Others of you, you use food, or it's the creation of games, or it's words, it's lyrics, it's rap, it's story, it's music. All of that is creative. And I'm here to affirm today that our creativity reflects the image of God in us. Second, we reflect the image of God when we speak. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Then God said," God spoke. And when He created, He did it by speaking. So you and I, when we speak, we don't create, but we speak. And when we speak, I believe that is a reflection of the image of God in us. You know, we're the only creatures that speak to each other. I know animals communicate. They make noises or sounds or smells, and they communicate that way. If you have a dog that you love, or maybe there's two dogs, they communicate, but their communication skills is pretty much woof, 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 woof. That's their communication skill. And when we speak language, it's a reflection of the image of God. Children learn it. How in the world do children learn language? It's just incredible to me to watch. First they learn a word, then they learn phrases, then they start to put together simple sentences, and after that it's going to be conversations, and it's going to be the telling of stories. I see that in the life of my granddaughter. I was thrilled when she said the first time I heard her say, "Papa." That was something. And then it wasn't long after that where we were doing something on the deck at our house, and she patted the picnic table bench, and she said, "Papa, sit." Whoa, she put two words together. And then it starts moving forward, and now it's like the point where we play this little game with my cap and with my hat, and she goes, "It's my hat, it's my hat." And the other day she sang "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star" all by herself. And I'm impressed. I'm impressed because she's my granddaughter. Yes, no doubt about that. But it's way more than cute. Because her ability to do this, her ability to speak and to begin to learn and begin to put together sentences and to begin to communicate, that's a reflection of the image of God in that little girl. Third, we reflect the image of God when we evaluate. In Genesis chapter 1, on the first day God creates, he looks at what he creates and he says, "It's good." Second day, "It's good." Third day, "It's good." Fourth day, "It's good." On it goes. You get into chapter 2, and when you find out that Adam is all alone and there's no helper for him, God says it's not good that Adam should be alone. And so I believe when you and I evaluate, when we make judgments about something is good or not good, that is the reflection, a reflection of the image of God in us. When you eat lunch today, you'll make a decision. You'll make an evaluation of whether it was good or not good. If you have a do-it-yourself project at home and you're going to finish it all by yourself, when it gets all done, you're going to make this decision. You're going to make this evaluation. Is it good or not good? When you take pictures, we all have cameras and we take all these pictures. And most of the pictures that you and I take, at least for me, most of the pictures I take are deleted. Because they're not good. They're not good. They're not good. Oh, that's good. That is a reflection of the image of God in us. When you are on social media and you read something that someone has posted on Facebook or Instagram, and on it goes, and you push like or dislike, you're expressing your opinion. But it is a reflection of the image of God in us, the image of God in you, because our evaluating reflects the image of God. How is the image of God reflected in us? It's when we, number four, care for nature. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, "So God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.' Then God said, 'I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give you every green plant for food.'" And so it was. It's like God is giving this to man, and he's saying to Adam and Eve, "I want you to care for what I've given you." That before Adam and Eve were created, who was caring for the creation in those first 5 days? That when we care for nature, that is a reflection of the image of God in us. If I ask you, how many of you have a garden? How many have a garden? How many of you plan to take care of that garden? How many of you will be planting plants or you'll be planting seeds? That's a reflection of the image of God. If you're an environmentalist, we have lots of people care about nature. There's animal lovers and there's plant lovers, all that kind of thing. And there's a lot of good to it, but there's also bad in it when it becomes nature is God rather than the creator being God. But when you and I care for nature and want to take care of the world around us, that is a reflection of the image of God. At our house, we have bird feeders. And the bird feeders are there especially for the orioles and the hummingbirds. Sometimes we get a goose beak. Cardinals come along and we tolerate them just for baseball reasons. But we do that not because so much we like the birds. I think that's what we're thinking. It's a picture of a reflection of the image of God that we want to care for the birds. And there's sparrows that come. We don't want the sparrows. We'd have wished the sparrows and some other kind of birds wouldn't even come and eat the food, but they come. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that God feeds the sparrows. God takes care of them, and he's doing that even through us. When we care for nature, our caring for nature reflects the image of God in us. Number five, and we have quite a few to go. Number five, when we're productive. Again, in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 27 and 28, which we just read, to be fruitful and multiply. The desire to be fruitful and to multiply. It includes, from those verses, gardens, it includes animals, and it includes us as human beings. But it goes way beyond that setting. It's that idea of being productive and being fruitful. It's not only about doing your best, it's about finding enjoyment in doing it. Finding enjoyment in being productive. Being productive is good. It's a reflection of the image of God in us. Some would say it reflects greed or reflects something else, but they can always run amok, but it is the finding of enjoyment by doing your best. This productivity reflects the image of God in us. And I'd like to say that in that first week, God was pretty productive. He was pretty productive days 1 through 6. Six, we reflect the image of God when we recognize beauty. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 36, God looks at everything he created and he said, it was very good. When you get into the detail of chapter 2, I think it's around verse 18, where it says that Adam is alone and it's not good for Adam to be alone, so it's not good. So God had an evaluation of not good on that sixth day, and it wasn't good until Eve was created. And when God fashions Eve out of the rib of Adam and he brings Eve to Adam, Adam sees her and I believe the way he says what he says has a words of astonishment where he says, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He's saying to God, wow, he recognizes the beauty of Eve. And when he does that, when he recognizes beauty, that's a reflection of the image of God. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Declare the glory of God. The creation shouts day after day, night after night, day after day, pours forth speech. If you look at it, it's almost like the psalmist is saying, the creation won't stop talking about God, won't stop glorifying God. And when we see creation, whether it's a mountain view, whether it's an ocean view, or whether it is the view from your own backyard, when you recognize the beauty that's there, that's a reflection of the image of God. Artwork, whether it's, again, quilting with wood, metal, pictures, what you do in your yard, painting, music, oratory, pictures, sport, food, all of that. There's this artistic value that's in it, and it's a recognized beauty. In our yard for those bird feeders, we have four or five different birds that we're trying to bring in. As I mentioned before, the oriole and the goosebeak and the we'll let the cardinals come and the goldfinch and a hummingbird. I can't remember all of them at this time. And we look at that as great variety. But did you know there are 9,000 to 10,000 different kinds of birds? 9,000 to 10,000 different kinds of birds. And it's like, wow, just this beauty when you see the birds. It's just the beauty that is there. When those evaluations are made, I don't think God just goes, well, that's good. I think he said, that's good. That he was finding delight in what he'd created. Not only that, I believe that he laughed at his creation. When he made the animals in the water and in the sky and on the land to sport, to do what they do, to jump like they jump, to be able to do what they do, I think God goes, that is great. This is so good. When you and I recognize beauty, it's a reflection of the image of God in us. Seven, when we work, In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. God sets Adam in the garden to work. God's already shown that he's worked for these 6 days, and he puts Adam there to work. Sometimes, it's too bad that sometimes we look at work and we can think of work as a burden. Something that we have to do, something that we have to do so we have money. It's way more than that. God designed us to work. The work that is given to man is given before man rebelled. It's given before man and woman sinned, way before. We see that even in this COVID-19 pandemic that we're experiencing at this time. There's a desire for people to work. Those who have been laid off work, they don't want to be laid off work. They want to work. And it's more than just money. It's because we've been designed to work. It's so strong within us. And that's a reflection of the image of God in us. There's that aspect of work as well, where we understand there's accountability for our work too. There's accountability that we are stewards of the stuff that God has given to us. Number 8, how do we reflect the image of God by what we do? When we rest. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God rested. As I said before, he had one productive week. He had a busy week. You ever had a busy week? He had a busy week. But the scripture says that God is not weary. God doesn't get tired. But God rested. God didn't rest because he was tired or exhausted. He rested to set a pattern for us. He rested, and since he rested, you and I are to be those who rest. That we pace ourselves, that we refresh ourselves, that we don't wait to take the time off until we're exhausted, but we pace ourselves. And when we do that, when we rest, when we take that Sabbath rest, whatever day that happens to be for you, our rest reflects the image of God in us. That drive within us to take a break is not just because we're so weary and worn out. It is God's image in us saying, you need to take a rest. And we quite often blow that one. Number 9, we reflect the image of God in us when we discern good versus evil. Genesis 3, when God says to Adam and Eve, hey, all the fruit on the trees, you can eat everything. But don't eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that tree. The right and the wrong that Adam and Eve were to discern at that point was pretty simple. We can do anything we want with all the rest of the trees, but just this one tree. They had a decision before them. They knew the difference between right and wrong in that very simple way. They eat of this fruit. When you see them eat of the fruit, then they recognize things. This knowledge of good and evil just explodes before them, and then they begin to blame. And you read through the scriptures, and you find that there's this cry of justice that goes out throughout the scriptures. There's this cry for justice if we just took even the Ten Commandments, this cry for justice. Not to murder, not to steal, not to commit adultery, not to lie, not to covet, all those things. That's a reflection of the image of God in us. When we look to the Supreme Court to make a decision, they're making a decision of right and wrong. They're making a decision that's going to be just. Where does that come from? Is it because everybody's crying out for justice? It's a reflection of the image of God in us that when we exercise discernment concerning right and wrong, it is a reflection of the image of God. 10th. We reflect the image of God when we take time to figure something out. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, it says, now the Lord God formed out of the ground of all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. We read that and we think it kind of just pretty fast. How long did that take? How long did that take for Adam to watch an animal, to watch an animal, to watch a bird, to watch and to figure out what their characteristics were and then to give it a name? Do you ever think about that? Well, when you take the time to figure something out, is a reflection of the image of God. Naming the animals, from my shallow research, 8.5 million species. 8.5 million species. 1.1 to 2 million of those are animals. And he gives names to the animals. We want to think that maybe he didn't name them all. I mean, that's exaggeration. It says he named them all. Well, who was it that figured out the elements on the, isn't it called the atomic chart, the element chart? 118 on the periodic table, there you go. Some would say there's even 119. That's it. Who figured that out? Who figured that out? Was it someone who just, you know, had this project and they kind of got lucky to figure it out? What was it that drove them to figure that out? I would submit that what drives them is a reflection of the image of God to discover how things work, to look at detail, to identify parts. Well, individuals who know what to do with computers and are using ones and zeros, it makes no sense to me. But they have figured it out, and they can figure out how to make things work. Medicine, the medical advances that have been made, it's just incredible. And when people take the time to figure those things out, it's a reflection of the image of God. Mathematics, science. Because everything we see in creation has mathematics and science behind it. I don't believe I'm trying to say that God sat down and tried to figure things out. He already knew, but when we try to figure something out, it is a reflection of the image of God in us. So someone now, or a lot of people probably, are trying to find a vaccine for COVID-19. What drives them? Well, maybe it's money. What drives them? Well, maybe it's their boss. What drives them? Well, deep down inside, there's a reflection of the image of God that they're trying to figure this thing out. This desire to explore and to understand. It reflects the image of God in us. Number 11, Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And Adam and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. When we pursue intimacy, it is a reflection of the image of God in us. Those terms, one flesh, naked and unashamed. Yeah, it includes the sexual. I get it. But it goes way beyond that. It goes way beyond that. To have other people with whom you are naked and unashamed, that you are totally open and honest with. To know and to be known by another person, that is a reflection of the image of God. That we are not designed, we are not creative to isolate ourselves. We find that with the pandemic, we're getting tired of the isolation. When we pursue intimacy, to know and to be fully known, that is a reflection of the image of God in us. Our pursuit of intimacy is a reflection of the image of God in us. 12. When we tremble at what the Word of God says. When we tremble at what the Word of God says. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" And there's this exchange between Eve and the serpent. And what you find in that exchange, I believe, is another reflection of the image of God in us. That God has spoken. And when we recognize, we are those who recognize that God has spoken. And when we recognize that he's spoken, either we tremble at his word or we reject it. We know from Isaiah a number of weeks ago that we are to be those who tremble at the word of God. And when people tremble at the word of God, it's a reflection of the image of God in us. When I tremble at the word of God, it is a reflection of the image of God in me. Number 13, how do we reflect God's image in us by what we do? When we exercise our free will. God has given us free will without a doubt. He told them in chapter 2, that you are not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you get into chapter 3, and the serpent and Eve are talking, and they know they should not do that. They know they shouldn't, and sometimes we think, well, why didn't God just make it so there wouldn't be a chance that Adam and Eve would sin? Because when God created the universe, before the foundation of the world, he knew that Adam and Eve would be rebels. And yet he created anyway. Why did he do that? Well, he creates us in his image. And it gives us this free will to make a choice, to make a choice of whether we're going to do that which is right or whether or wrong. We are free to make that choice. And in that freedom, there's also accountability with it. So when you and I make a choice, whether it's the right one or whether it's the wrong one, when anybody makes a choice, whether it's the right one or the wrong one, we have the free will to do that. And when we exercise our free will, it's a reflection of God's image in us. Number 14, we reflect the image of God when we desire to walk and talk with God Himself. In chapter 3, after Adam and Eve sinned, it says that the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you were in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Adam and Eve, I don't know exactly when chapter 3 happened, except it happened after chapter 2. How long was the time? How long were they in the garden? How long did it go? I don't know. But they experienced what it was like to walk and talk with God Himself, that they could recognize the presence of God, and they talked with Him. And that desire in you to be in relationship with God, that desire within us to worship someone, that's a reflection of the image of God, that we are those who are pulled to be in relationship with Him. A desire to be in relationship with God Himself is a reflection of the image of God in us. And last, your favorite point, last, 15, we reflect the image of God in us when we pursue reconciliation. Adam and Eve fall into sin. Yes, they do. And God pursues reconciliation with them. God is one who provides for them. They cover themselves with fig leaves, but God sacrifices an animal to cover them with skins. And it begins to show this story that's going to be opening up throughout the rest of history. It's the rest of the Bible story about what God has done in terms of reconciliation, what God has done to put things back together. And when you and I pursue reconciliation with one another, it's a reflection of the image of God in us. That desire to be reconciled is a reflection of the image of God in us. That's a long list. I won't go back over it, but here's my one thing. The one thing. Recognize the image of God in those around you and affirm it. Recognize the image of God in those around you and affirm it. When you see someone being creative, they're doing their creativity, instead of just saying, "Hey, that is a good job," what if you said to them, "Well, that is such a reflection of the image of God in you." Well, when someone has taken the ingredients and made this fantastic meal, it's a work of art, not only to see, but to taste. To not only say, "Hey, thanks for such a good meal, that was fantastic," but to say, "That's a reflection of the image of God. What you just did in making that meal, what you've done in designing this piece of woodwork, or what you've done in terms of making this quilting or the songs or this rap, whatever it is that you've done, the story that you've written, I just want you to know, I see the reflection of God in you, that the reflection of the image of God in you." And remember, it's not just something for Christians. This is for all people, that we recognize it in all people and that we would be willing to affirm it in those that we see. Pray with me. Father, sometimes we make what it means to be made in Your image, we make it a little bit too difficult. Maybe we think too hard about it. But I know for me, Lord, as I was looking through Genesis 1, 2, and 3, it was watching what You do and seeing how we do similar things, that is the reflection of God in us. May we have many opportunities not only to thank You for the way that You've made us in Your image, may we have many opportunities to affirm the image of God in those around us. For Your honor and for Your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Next steps, memorize Genesis 1, 26 and 27 about being created in the image of God. Second, I would ask you to slowly read through Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And look for these things, look for these principles that I've mentioned today, and perhaps you'll find even more, perhaps. And then third, in line with our one thing, affirm the image of God in others. When you see the image of God reflected in others, affirm it. Affirm it. Thank you. Oakwood, now unto Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. It's like you see in creation, like you see in the being made in His image. Now unto Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Have a great week.